Okay, Hare Krishna to all. It's an honor to introduce Her Grace Urmila Prabhu, I choose really small part out of, otherwise I would take 10 minutes to say about what she's doing. So just in short, Urmila Devidasi she's a disciple of Prabhupada, and she's one of the rarest traveling preacher. And she has a master's of school administration and a doctor of education in educational leadership from the University of North Carolina. Among many glorious services, she was a principal at Gurukula for 27 years. She's also an author of many books and has written innumerable.
Well, they are innumerable because you can actually count them. Yeah.
Articles in Back to Godhead magazine.
You can say many, not innumerable. Innumerable means you can't count them.
So. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Many.
It's like that. and Back to Godhead magazine, and traveling around the world, giving seminars, lectures, etc. And like I said, are some of the many amazing services she's currently doing. I mean, I would say so many services, and we just see it, if I can say, share this, we discussed yesterday, like I'm always in the middle of some project. So if I ask her which project you are doing now, she would ask me which project you mean, because I have so many. Yeah. So that's her. And her association is really—it's really mercy from Krishna, definitely. And please take this opportunity and take this opportunity to be in her association, ask a question if you will have. And she's the most sweet, heartfelt. She has sense of humor, and I mean she's an amazing person, really. I really love her so much, and I'm so thankful that she came here to Dubai and that she's here with us, and she think that she will come.
Most people don't introduce me as the most sweet.
Yeah, I you are like that, yeah. So
but Adara Chandra, because she just loves me. So when you love somebody, then you always think they are very nice. Oh,
see.
Aww, thank you.
All right.
So it's wonderful to be loved.
Yeah, I will give the microphone to Korea. Okay. Thank you. So, Urmila Prabhu Mataji ki jai.
Just put in the baby glasses. Otherwise, people get confused.
Okay.
So it's February 19th in 2020 here in Dubai. So I wasn't very clear what you want me to speak about today. I heard I could talk about association with devotees, or I could talk about chanting. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
I could choose one of those or both?
No, we can cover both also.
I can cover both also, I
yeah.
see.
Because those both will go together, isn't it?
Well, as anything in Krishna consciousness can go together with anything. We have until what time? Because we were supposed to start at 10:30, it's 11:20. What time are we ending?
By 12:30.
By 12:30.
She's only whoever wants to go there.
Can you all, who can stay until 12:30? No, not.
12:00.
Who has to leave at 12 o'clock?
Because children are coming.
Okay, half of them have to leave at 12. So I think we'll finish the class at 12 and then we can have questions. So that means we have to just take one topic. We'll take either chanting or association with devotees. Okay, so who would like association with devotees? And we don't have time for both. So who would like chanting? Okay, so I think today we're going to do chanting. And then we're having also a class this evening. Where is that going to be? And that's going to be open questions, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that correct?
Like magic box, yeah.
A magic box question? Only the devotees can ask questions? The guests aren't allowed to ask questions? Okay. You know, just like the Muslims, they have a rule. You cannot enter Mecca unless you're a Muslim. So I always wonder, how do they test, you know? Are you a Muslim? I don't... There's two funny stories about, are you a devotee? One is where one time Prabhupada was meeting with devotees, and then his secretary announced, all the devotees have to leave, so Prabhupada also got up. Another story you might have read in Journey Home, some of you have read that, that when Radhana Swami, before he joined, he had this long matted hair, like dreadlocks, right? So he was coming to see Srila Prabhupada, many devotees were there, and then again someone made an announcement, all the devotees have to leave. And Radhana Swami, he wasn't Radhana Swami then, he stayed. So Tamal Krishnaraj was saying, you have to go, you have to go. And then Radhana Swami looks at Prabhupada and said, but I am not a devotee. And he picks up his matted hair and he says, but I am not a devotee. Prabhupada laughed. He said, yes, you can stay. Okay. So you'd like to not talk about chanting. How many of you chant some japa every day? Okay. How many of you go to kirtans at least once a week?
So there's not even so many.
How many of you do some kind of puja every day? So almost everybody. How many of you offer your food to Krishna regularly? And how many of you read Prabhupada's books at least like 2-3 times a week? So of course there's two main kinds of chanting that we do. One is on our beads, one is japa chanting. And the other is kirtan chanting. And it's very interesting that the kirtan chanting is the yuga dharma. To chant together, thank you so much. To chant together, especially singing, that is the main means of approaching, thank you, of approaching God in this age.
It's too hot?
No, it's just perfect. Thank you so much. At the same time, if we think about Srila Prabhupada asked us to take 5 vows at initiation. 4 of the vows are not spiritual. You can be an atheist, vegetarian, like Donald Trump doesn't drink alcohol, but he's definitely not a devotee. So just to give up intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, that is not spiritual. It is just gets you away from the influence of Kali Yuga. So the only spiritual vow Prabhupada asked his disciples to take was to chant 16 rounds of japa. The Prabhupada told us, wake up early, go to Mangalarti, but we did not make a promise that I will go to Mangalarti every day. Prabhupada told us, read my books every day, but we did not make a promise. So I find it very interesting that of all of the limbs or the angas of bhakti, the one that Srila Prabhupada picked, only picked one, to have us take a promise, is this chanting of japa. And there's a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Srila Prabhupada says that of all the instructions of the spiritual master, did I say something wrong? You're already leaving. And all the instructions of the spiritual master, the most important one is to chant 16 rounds. So I do think it's interesting that although kirtan is the yuga dharma, the emphasis is on japa. And I thought for quite a while, why? You know, why this emphasis on japa? What is the reason for it? chanting Hare Krishna Japa is also interesting because I think of all of the different services that we do, most of them have some sort of material happiness. When you are in kirtan, I mean, most people in the world, they like to sing, to play instruments, to dance. In fact, there are some religions where they do not allow music because they say music is material enjoyment. So kirtan has a lot of music. It's pleasurable. Bless you. Unless the singer doesn't know how to sing, but usually kirtan is materially pleasurable. Prasadam is usually materially pleasurable. When we're studying the stories in the scripture, everybody likes to read stories. The newspaper is full of stories. The movies are all stories. Everybody likes to read stories, and the stories in the scriptures, they are full of romance and fighting, adventure, mystery. And the philosophy we study, philosophy is interesting. It stimulates our intelligence and our mind. And then if we think of the different services that we do, so all of them have some enjoyment on the material level. We may enjoy making garlands because we like working with colors and fragrances. But japa, I don't see, has any of that. There is nothing in japa that is materially attractive. It's only service. And it also requires a lot of commitment and discipline, especially to chant a certain amount every day. And 16 rounds, it takes at least an hour and 20 minutes. For most people, it's closer to 2 hours to chant 16 rounds. Now, there are many, many people in the world today now who meditate. It's becoming very popular. Of course, mostly they are doing Buddhist meditation. But still, it's becoming all over the world. I'm sure here in Dubai even. Yes? People are understanding that meditation is good for them. But most people who meditate, how long do you think they're meditating every day?
10 to 20 minutes.
Exactly, 10 to 20 minutes. And Prabhupada's asking us to do a meditation for 1.5 to 2 hours. That's a lot of time for most people. You know, in the people who live in a temple ashram, so you're waking up at, 4 o'clock in the morning, and then you have your program until 9 o'clock in the morning. Mangalarti and Tulsi worship and japa and then darshan arti and kirtan and then a class. You're waking up at 4, you're not sitting down for breakfast until 9, and you're not doing any ordinary things. Who can do this? Who can wake up at 4 and wait until 9 to eat and start their day at 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning? Even if you're a housewife, that is not easy, correct? Right? You wake up in the morning, you have to make breakfast and lunch for your husband and children. Isn't it? Yes? I'm sure most of your husbands and children eat home-cooked vegetarian food. Well, home-cooked, you have to cook it. It takes time. Even if you have some servant who comes and cuts your vegetables for you, and still, And then you have to get the children ready for school, and by the time you do all of that, it's probably at least 7:30 in the morning. Isn't it? Yeah. So people who are going to work, if someone is working at a job and they have to leave 6:37 in the morning, or they're going to school, it's difficult for people to have that kind of time. Now, of course, there are also many people, probably many of us, who are wasting 2 hours of time every day. That may also be. I know in America, they say the average time of watching television is 6 hours a day. And I often wonder, how is this possible?
Yeah.
If I'm working 8 hours a day and I'm commuting and I have to eat and I have to sleep, where is the 6 hours a day for watching television? And then if it's the average, that means many people are doing more.
Yes, more. Yes.
Yes. But people are, certainly, most people are probably spending 1 to 2 hours a day just on some kind of recreation, watching sports, you know, looking at the news or something like that. So you could say most people probably have the time, they're just spending it on something else. But then, of course, we also need recreation. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, that a yogi has to have also recreation. So we may find it, japa, very difficult, I think, for those two reasons. That first of all, it doesn't have with it some material pleasure. And also, to really do what Prabhupada asks us to do requires a very big commitment of time and a big discipline. To do that every day, for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. It's not such an easy thing. And then, when people who do chant every day, often they find ways to chant without chanting. So they're moving their fingers and they're moving their mouth, but they're not really meditating. They're doing it as a ritual, like some sort of payment to go to Vaikuntha. I'm going to pay my Vaikuntha ticket. I chanted my rounds today. I finished my rounds today. So also the fact that that is quite common shows that this is something difficult. Difficult and for most people not very pleasurable. Because we don't behave like this with things that are easy and pleasurable. If something's pleasurable, we absorb ourselves in it. And if something's easy, we're likely to do it. And so I see that everywhere in our Hare Krishna movement, there is a lot of training on how to chant japa. I was just in Mayapur when one sannyasi was giving a seminar about japa, and so many people came, probably 300, but he didn't actually teach anybody how to chant japa. He was teaching leaders how to set up a training program for japa. And most of the people said, no, that I wanted to learn how to chant. Because we are told in the scriptures that this chanting of japa is amazingly pleasurable. You know, Rupa Goswami is saying there's so much happiness in the two syllables Krishna that it dances in the heart and all of the senses stop. And you wish you had millions of ears and millions of tongues. So we hear this kind of description. It's like if someone said, oh, I went to Govinda's and I had the Sitapal ice cream and I wished that I had 100 tongues. Or maybe one tongue for the pistachio ice cream and one for the Sitapal ice cream. I don't even know if I'm going to go into this visit. I tell people you should come to Dubai just to have the ice cream. So we're hearing that chanting Hare Krishna is like that. Yes, but generally we don't experience that it's like that. You say, wow. The acharyas are saying it's like that. The scriptures are saying it's like that. Srila Prabhupada's saying it's like that. So we have this, I think the essential question comes down to, how can I make my japa like that? How can my japa become like the japa of Rupa Goswami? Where I'm thinking, I don't have enough mouths, I don't have enough ears. I just become absorbed in this japa. And if the answer was a simple one, all of you would be chanting 16 rounds. Already. And we wouldn't be having all these japa training programs and japa retreats and So obviously it's not a simple one. At the same time, it must be an important thing if Prabhupada made it the only rule. Must be. Just again, think about this. It's the only spiritual rule he made. Now, many times, devotees will get very fixed on, you know, Prabhupada said to do this, Prabhupada. But it was the only vow, it was the only promise. So, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell you anything that you don't know already. I think I'll say some things, but perhaps you've already heard all of these things. But it is a question then of doing it. And I think it's like so many other things, just like we know by experience that if we exercise regularly, we have more energy and our health is better. Everybody has experienced this.
Yes.
And it's not some big secret. Correct? Or we know if we eat healthy food, we feel better. Correct? We all have experience. We all experience, if I eat the third piece of cake, how do I feel for the next 2 hours? Not good. You know, I had pleasure for 5 minutes and unhappiness for 2 hours. Or maybe unhappiness for a long time when I look at the scale. So we know this, but it's a question of doing it. It's a question of, you know, not taking the third piece of cake, and it's a question of saying, I'm going to exercise. I'm just going to do it. Like I take a walk pretty much every day. And some days I don't want to. Some days it's too cold or it's too hot. But I know if I go 3-4 days without exercise, I feel different. Yeah? So I think very much Jenny Job is like that. That everything I can say, you have already heard. But it's a question of doing it. And doing it is, it's not so easy. It is not so easy to sit down for 1.5 to 2 hours and just focus our mind on Krishna. We are habituated for so many lifetimes to focus our mind on so many other things. And our mind and our heart don't want to just focus on Krishna. They want to do something else. But we can at least get an experience that when we do chant in that way, it is wonderful. That we really do feel the presence of Krishna. It's also, I find it interesting, that Srila Prabhupada did not seem to expect japa to be that difficult for us. If you look at Prabhupada's quotes on japa, and on my website, under the seminars handouts, I have a lot of quotes. I didn't know about this enough in advance to like print up 50 copies for everybody. But I quote some Srila Prabhupada there about how to chant, what mood to chant in. And even in 1967, 1968, Srila Prabhupada very clearly thought that having very meditative japa was something that his Western-born disciples could do. So Srila Prabhupada did not think that it would take 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. What to speak of people who are born in Hindu families? It should be easier for you. But Prabhupada thought it would be easy for us. So we can look at just a few of the kind of instructions that Prabhupada gave about chanting japa. One of them, he said that as soon as you chant, one should feel the presence of Krishna. Now, I think that's true whenever we say the name of somebody in this world. If ever I say the name of a friend or a family member or even the name of someone I don't like, when we were walking this morning, they're doing this construction and it's going to be Donald Trump's building. And I was thinking, like, his name was like everywhere. And as soon as I see the name, I remember the person. So even a person I don't like, isn't it? As soon as I remember the... And it's so bad, the word Trump in English means to be better than. I don't know if you know that. It's a word used in gambling. It's called a trump card. Yes. And I've never gambled in my life. No, seriously, I have never gambled in my life. But I know that it's a word used in gambling. You'll say, you know, my hand trumps yours, and I have the trump card. It means you have the best. Yes. And the word is part of English vocabulary that people will say, oh, that trumps the other idea. And even when I hear that word, I say, can you use a different word? Right? I was just at the GBC meeting. One of the GBC men said that to me about something. I said, Prabhu, can you use a different word? He said, what word? I said, supersede. Mm-hmm. That idea supersedes. That means it goes before. Like proceed. So even when I hear that word in another context, it's not talking about the person. Still, I associate it with that person. And Krishna's name is also like that. So even if someone says, I'm going to the Cinerama, Krishna takes it, they are chanting his name. Even Ajamila was saying, Narayana, sit down. Eat your food. The Lord took it, but he wasn't actually. Yeah? Or like Prabhupada talked about George Harrison, he said, oh, you are Hari's son. Because even something like that, when Krishna hears it, he hears his name is being said. And when the devotee hears it, he hears, oh, this is about my Lord. You follow?
Yes. Yes.
So we all know this already with the names of people in this world. If I am going to say my mother, immediately I think of my mother. I cannot say my mother without having some, there's some emotion immediately. There may be a picture. Right? Oh, my mother, my son, my daughter, my husband. Immediately. So we're saying Krishna should be like that. It shouldn't be just a sound. And Prabhupada said, if you can't remember Krishna, you can just meditate on the sound. And sometimes devotees say, you must just meditate on the sound. But that wasn't what Prabhupada said. He said, you meditate. Immediately you should meditate on Krishna, and if you cannot, then you just meditate on the sound. Now, in order to have the names Hare Krishna and Rama immediately remind us of Krishna, we have to know something about Krishna. If there's someone here who doesn't read the newspapers, he doesn't know who is Donald Trump, then even he sees the name, it won't mean anything. So if we're not hearing about Krishna, then saying Krishna's name doesn't, all we can hear is the sound. And the sound, it's okay to meditate on the sound. The sound is also Krishna. But it should be, Prabhupada said, immediately you feel the presence of Krishna, and then you remember, he wrote in one letter, 1968, then you can remember Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Or another place he said that you immediately remember how Krishna's killing some demon and the coward boys are encouraging him with clapping. But to remember that, you have to know some stories of Krishna killing the demons. If I never met my mother, then if I say my mother, it doesn't... Then I don't have... It's empty. So therefore, we usually say hearing is first. Of course, Prabhupada didn't have us take a promise to hear. But without hearing, it's very difficult to have meditative chanting. Because I don't know Krishna. I don't know anything about him. And so, There's nothing that comes. So being able to meditate on Krishna when I'm chanting has a lot to do with what I do when I'm not chanting. What am I hearing about? What am I reading about? What am I talking about? What am I thinking about? If all day long I am simply thinking about my family, my friends, maybe my job, some sports people, some cinema people, some television show, then when I go to chant Krishna's name, it won't be anything there. I mean, it's still worth something to sit and chant and just hear. But far better chanting is there when we have something that we're meditating. And the things that Prabhupada talked about meditating on when we're chanting are Krishna's pastimes, like you said. You remember Krishna's killing a demon and the cowherd boys are encouraging him with claps. Krishna's driving Arjuna's chariot. Krishna's instructions, he says, you remember Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Several times Prabhupada would say that. Or remember Krishna's form. And Prabhupada told George Harrison and Alice Coltrane both. He said, you can take a picture of Krishna and you have it in front of you when you are chanting. Or we can sit in front of our altar, in front of the deities. And also to meditate on serving Krishna. There's a famous lecture in Switzerland, in Geneva, where Srila Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna means that you make a diamond throne in your heart. And you have Krishna sit there. And then Prabhupada starts explaining puja, starts explaining archana, deity worship. He says you bathe him with Ganga water and Yamuna water, and you dress him in costly clothes and ornaments. And he says, if you chant like this, then wherever you go, you will create a tirtha. So many of you are doing some puja every day. And if you are also performing like Abhishek for your deities and dressing him, that is a very good meditation in japa. And you can make it very detailed. There was this story in the Nectar of Devotion about this Brahmana who was very poor. And he heard, I can worship the Lord in my mind. So he would meditate every day on doing elaborate archana, very elaborate worship. And Prabhupada said, usually we call Ganga and Jamuna water with a mantra. Please come into the water. But in his meditation, he would actually go to the Ganga in his mind. And you don't have to take a stainless steel pot. You could take a gold pot. So in your mind, you can take a gold pot and you can go to the Ganga. You can even go to Gangotri in your mind. And then he would bring this water in his mind, in these golden pots. And I don't think any of us in our home have a diamond throne on the altar. Do you? Anybody have a diamond? The Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna means you make a diamond throne in your heart. So one can meditate on doing worship, but with much more opulence than we can use physically. And you can take whatever deity you are already worshipping and meditate like that. Or if there's a deity in some temple you would like to worship, you could meditate that I'm doing the worship for Balaji or Radharaman or whoever you wanted. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his Bhajana Rahasya about meditating on the different verses of the Shikshastika during chanting. And he also discusses there about meditating on Krishna's pastimes. Meditating on Krishna waking up in the morning, getting his bath, milking the cows, having breakfast, going out to the pasturing grounds, like that. And again, this is what we do, even materially, when we are focusing on somebody's name. We are thinking about the person. when I leave here and I leave Dubai, I'm going to go to an academic symposium, and then I'm going to visit our youngest son, then I'm going to visit our oldest son, then I'm going to visit our daughter. And I'm thinking about what will I do when I'm with them. We'll do this, we'll do that. We'll take the grandchildren here and that. You understand?
Yes.
Yes? Naturally.
Yeah.
Oh, last time I visited, we did this and that. So we can think like that also about Krishna. Just like we think about, oh, my husband will come home and I will have this cooked and this cooked and that cooked. And I'll bring the children home, and then we have soccer practice today, and we have this, and I will do this, and that. So we can think like that about Krishna, and japa time is specifically for that. That we don't think about just what will I do with the family, and what will I do for this, and what do I have to do for the car. And, you know. But this is our time to be with Krishna. It's a very close personal time. This is my time to be with Krishna. And we can say that if we meditate nicely, we'll feel much more calm, much more peaceful, much more happy. We'll be more in sattva guna, which will allow us to have clarity of thought. We'll make better decisions in our life. Our blood pressure will be better. That's all true. Those are all true things that happen when you meditate. And that is why meditation has become very popular. But that is not why we are chanting japa. And just like when people have a happy marriage, they are also healthier. There is so much evidence that happily married people will be healthier. By the way, that's more true for men than for women. Just by the way. If a man is even in an unhappy marriage, he's happier than a single man. That's the studies. But hopefully you don't get married just to be healthier.
Too late. Too late.
So it's not like we say, well, I'm going to spend my time with Krishna every day because that will make me healthier. It will make me happier. It will make me more peaceful. But just to be with him. If it's a nice marriage, you want to be with your husband. Actually, most women's main complaint about their husband is they don't see him enough. Right? You don't spend enough time with me. You're always busy with other things. So if you love someone, you want to be with them. You want to spend time with them. You don't even care if you do anything or not. You know, if you have some friend, you may be happy just to be together. You don't have to have some big plan. Am I correct?
Yes.
Just sit outside, watching the sun go down, taking a walk. You don't have to, just to be with them. So japa should be like that with Krishna. And when japa is like that with Krishna, then it is very pleasurable. It is the most pleasurable thing. Because Krishna is the most pleasurable person. And my own theory is that the fact that japa doesn't have any material enjoyment in it means that the only pleasure I'm getting is from being with Krishna. Maybe in a kirtan I'm getting happiness from being with Krishna, but also because the mridanga player is right. But that may take some cultivation. We can see now why japa is difficult, isn't it? If I don't have any relationship with Krishna, just like sometimes I'm with someone that I don't want to be with, yes? Does this happen? Somebody's talking to me and I'm thinking, when will they be quiet? Go away. What excuse can I make to do something else? When I went to this class a few days ago that was supposed, I thought, was about how to chant good japa, and it was about how to organize classes for japa. So So I thought, this is very boring. It's all right, don't worry. I thought, this is very boring. And I thought, but I don't want to be rude and leave the class early. So I thought, how can I look like I'm listening to the class and not really? So I took out some paper and a pen and I was writing other things, but I thought people will think I'm taking notes on the paper. So, you know, when we are with... Thank you for coming. Thank you. Sorry we got here late. It's all right, don't worry. Don't worry. Yes, 5 to 12. I was going to end in 5 minutes, but I guess I had to end at 11:55, not 12 before. Hare Krishna. It's not a problem.
Wait, she's waiting.
It's fine. Don't worry. It's fine. So if we think like that about Krishna, that he's that kind of person, Krishna is some annoying person that I have to spend time with because it's a rule, and Prabhupada said, then we will be doing something else while we are chanting. We will not enjoy it. We will try to do it as little as possible and try to get it over as fast as possible. So I see that the essence of chanting good japa is not so much in you should chant in the morning. Are you a leader? You should be. It's not so much that you should chant in the morning or you have to chant all your 16 rounds at one time or you have to sit like this. Those things may be very helpful. Just like maybe if husband and wife were both busy, you could say, well, every evening, 7 to 8, we're going to have just some personal time. That may be helpful. But the most essential thing is that I want to be with the person Krishna. That I have a desire in myself. And if I want to be with the person Krishna, and I want to know the person Krishna, then I will find the time. And I will think 1.5, 2 hours isn't enough. So I see, therefore, good japa is part of a holistic life. It's part of regularly hearing the Shastra. It's part of regularly hearing the pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, of having friends you can talk to about Krishna with. It comes from thinking about Krishna during the day. While we're cooking, while we're cleaning, while we're ironing, while we're in the car, we can be listening to classes, we can be listening to audiobooks. And then to think, oh, now I get to, now it just gets to be me and Krishna. And isn't that really what we all want? Just me and God. My time to be alone with God and to feel His presence, to meditate on His instructions or His pastimes or His form or on service. And if we think about it like that, so imagine if we got a letter, an email, or a WhatsApp message from Krishna. And he said, you know what? I've looked at my schedule and I have 1.5 hours every day that I've penciled in can be with you. And only you. I'm not going to be with anybody else. No other gopis, no other cowherd boys, not Mother Yasoda, just you. Can you fit me in your schedule? Nah, sorry, Krishna. I have a lot of other things to do. Oh, you're kind of boring. So if we think about it like that, that Krishna's saying, hey, this is our personal time. Just to be together. And it's just a question of our making the time and being available. Of course, you could start with one round. You could start with one mantra. Say, at the end of my puja, I chant one Hare Krishna mantra. even 10, 5 Hare Krishna, you can start with that. But please don't do it as a ritual or mechanically. Think about this as Krishna inviting me to have some time to really be with Him. To have the rest of the world go away. Of course, if you have a very young child at home, you're going to have to keep an eye and ear out for your very young child. When I was before I joined ISKCON as a teenager, when I was listening to ordinary music of the world, you know, there, I remember some song like that, you know, when I'm with you, the world goes away. Wow. I forget about everything. This is common in ordinary love and relationships, isn't that a fact? Yeah? You see some young boy and young girl, they just got married, and they only see each other. Right? I remember right after my daughter got married, like 2-3 days after they got married, we went to an education conference at another temple. She still had the mehendi and everything, you know? So it was japa time, and she and her husband were sitting outside the temple room, chanting together, but you know, they're chanting together and they're like, you can understand. So one sannyasi walks by and he says, maybe you shouldn't sit together during japa. And then my son-in-law said, oh, we just got married, and my daughter shows him the mehendi. And then he just laughed. The sannyasi just laughed and he walked out. So it should be like that for us.
Krishna.
And the rest of the world goes away. So we have some time. And those of you who didn't have to run and collect your children, if anyone has questions or discussion. And thank you all for coming, and thank you for waiting. If you waited a long time for me to come, thank you.
But they were chanting, Mother.
I heard they were chanting.
Can you say something about the importance of 16 rounds, or why so much time to spend
Well, that's interesting, because when devotees ask Prabhupada why 16, he wouldn't answer except to say, the Guru says and you do. Prabhupada did not give any answer other than, because I said so. Why so much time? I mean, we would like to get to the point where we want to feel that we're with Krishna personally all day. But if we don't spend some big chunk of time with Krishna, that's very difficult. If you never spend any time with your husband, it's hard to think about him during the day. We want to think about Krishna all the time. Mama Nuswam Yujitcha, think of me while you're doing everything. But that requires having a relationship, which means having some deep personal time.
It's a discipline, maybe.
It can be a discipline, but it's unfortunate if it is a discipline. It can be. You know, if a marriage is in trouble, the couple may go to a counselor, and the counselor may give them some disciplines. So one couple I know, they went to some program, couples training, and they were given some disciplines. When you want to discuss something, you follow these rules. And it helped them, but it was a discipline. Okay, where's my paper from the conference? Are you not doing point number 2 right? Well, wait a minute, what was point number? So that is useful when a relationship is in trouble. So if our relationship with Krishna is in trouble, we may chant as a discipline. But it's hard to maintain that. you know, we want to chant not as a discipline, but we want to chant because we genuinely want to be with Krishna. And if we chant too much as a discipline, we will want to be inattentive. Exactly like if I go to hear somebody because I feel obligated. Generally, I want to do something else. I'm trying to find a way to do something else. I don't want to give it my full attention. So to say, I'm going to chant as a discipline, but I'm going to chant attentively, is a little contradictory. You know, then to be attentive, I end up having some very selfish motives. End up, well, I'm going to be attentive because then I'll be a good devotee, or then I'll go back to Godhead, or then maybe I'll experience ecstasy, or then the other devotees will like me, I'll get initiated, and I'll be part of the group. And, you know, we start having those sort of motives. I don't tell this story very often. In fact, I don't think I ever told this story publicly. So for our youngest son, when we were looking for a wife for him, so we found out about this one very nice girl, and her whole family came to visit. They were visiting like 2-3 days maybe. But then nothing happened after that. And we found out later that this girl was already in love with somebody else. But the man she was in love with, she knew her parents would not approve. So her parents did not know. So she had told her parents, yes, yes, I'll go meet this boy. But actually she loved somebody else. So when she came to meet our son, she had no interest in him. It was just official. And I remember my son saying, I don't think she likes me. She didn't. I mean, it's kind of interesting. She did marry this other man, and I saw her a few years ago. She said, sometimes I wonder what my life would be like if I married your son. But it's like that. If I'm in love with Maya, if I already am in love with Maya, and suddenly the guru is saying, come and spend time with Krishna, but I'm always thinking of Maya. I am just there officially. Okay. I'll do it. How will I be attentive? Yes.
During chanting, you said it is good to meditate on Krishna Leela and Krishna's form or his pastimes.
Yes.
And so what?
Or service. Or service. Things Prabhupada said, would you feel Krishna's presence? To remember his pastimes, remember his instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, meditate on his form, and also to meditate on doing service.
So if I'm doing all that, like reading the Bhagavad Gita and more interested in the Krishna Leelas than chanting actually, so how is that different? Or how will chanting help? That's what I want to know. Because for me, personally, I like more reading about Krishna and the different other scriptures and all that, and I'm not able to get the love for chanting.
Well, there's many, many, many people who say the same thing. You're in very good company. So I've heard that from hundreds of people. But what we're doing when we're chanting is we're having our relationship with Krishna. So if we really like hearing, When I was a child, I used to watch one television show every week. And one time we went to Hollywood. We had some family there. And we had family who had connections in Hollywood. So they got me onto the set to meet my favorite television stars. I actually got onto the set. So instead of just watching the show, so when you're hearing about Krishna, but now chanting, you can immerse yourself in it. So that's deeper. Of course, you can do that while you're hearing also. And there are many statements by Srila Prabhupada and in the Shastras and by our Acharyas that we can become perfectly Krishna conscious by any of the angas of bhakti. There are places where Prabhupada says, even if you don't chant, just by hearing you can become perfect. There are these statements. You can become perfect by taking charanamrita. By just seeing the deities one time, I mean, just going to Vrindavan. All of the angas of bhakti can give that perfection. And then we have this interesting thing that Prabhupada, the only vow he had us make was to chant 16 rounds. So again, I spent a lot of time asking myself, why? Why? Prabhupada could have said, you know, spend a half an hour a day or an hour a day studying Shastra. That could have been our vow. He told us we should go every day to a class on the Bhagavatam. You know, and when we lived in ashrams, every day we'd go to a class on the Bhagavatam and also a class on the Bhagavad Gita. But we didn't take a vow. He said we should read his books every day. We should talk about the pastimes, but I didn't make a promise. Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to read your books every day. I usually do. I probably read Prabhupada's books 360 days a year. Maybe 363 days a year. But I didn't make a promise. So why? Why that, only that one thing? So I suggest that if you take these two facts, that we can become a pure devotee through any of the processes of bhakti, and yet Prabhupada asked us to promise this one thing. There must be something about it that's very special and very important and very key. There has to be. Otherwise, why would he have done that? It is also true that Prabhupada says we should perform the activities of bhakti according to our personal taste. So I know some people, they love doing archana. I know one devotee in Pune, she has a temple in her home, like a temple. It's probably as big as like half this room. All marble altar. Gorni Tami Radhakrishna Jagannath. She also has a deity of Vrinda Devi. She does 5 offerings and aartis a day. Just like a full temple. The deities get dressed twice a day. Abhishek everything. Most people don't want to do that. But some people do. Oh, I have a god sister. From 1 month in the Hare Krishna movement, she was chanting 40 rounds of japa. She told me, she said, what I like best is chanting japa. Or I met one woman in London like this. We did a program like this in her home in the evening. So she had her altar, it was pretty big. Maybe like half that wall. It was a very, very small apartment. Much, much smaller than this. Whole apartment was as big as this room. And it was very, very small. She had a husband and a 12-year-old son. And she said to me exactly the opposite of what you've said. So I've heard hundreds of people say what you've said. Hundreds. But what she said to me, she said, Amrila, I don't know what to do. The devotees are criticizing me that I don't spend time reading the Shastra. I said, well, what do you do? She said, I chant japa.
Amen.
I said, "Oh, how much japa do you chant?" She said, "150 rounds every day." So I'm sitting there thinking, "Whoa." And I said, "Why do you chant so much japa?" She said, "Because it's so wonderful." And I said, "I don't think you need to read the shastra. I think you're just fine." She said, "But Mataji, the devotees are telling me that I'm in Maya." And I said, "Do you have any time of the day when you're not chanting?" She said, "Well, in the morning when I'm taking a shower and getting dressed." I said, "Do you have any slokas you like from the Bhagavatam?" She says, "Oh, I like Kunti's prayers." I said, "Could you chant Kunti's prayers while you're taking a shower?" She said, "Oh, yes, I can do." I said, "Then you can tell all your friends you're studying the Bhagavatam." So we have our personal taste. Some people love to go on pilgrimage. I know devotees, they love to go to all the holy places. Right? We have some gurus in ISKCON. Every year they are taking disciples for a month to all the holy places. I know people, they love kirtan. 6-8 hours a day, they can chant kirtan. Some people, that's all they do. They just travel around the world singing in kirtan. Right? Some of us, we love to study the scriptures. I, for myself, I can't read too much. That's not possible. Even if I spend 6 or 8 hours a day reading shastra, when I go to sleep, I'll think, "I have not read enough." Or like my friend Narayani, she has rewritten every verse of the whole Bhagavatam in English poetry. And she has written books with every verse in her own English poetry and an illustration for every chapter of the Bhagavatam. She's produced a Bhagavad Gita book with an illustration for every verse. So we each have some service that we really like. Or maybe a particular service. Maybe someone really loves making flower decorations for the deities. Or maybe somebody loves cooking. I've met devotees who can be all day in the kitchen. I mean, I love to cook, but and I've been a head cook in 2 temples, where I was the main cook for all the devotees. But honestly, it's not something I want to do like 8 hours a day. And I like to cook. I enjoy it. So Prabhupada also says that everyone should do service according to their taste. So japa may not be your main service. You may not want to chant 150 rounds a day ever. You may never want to chant 150 rounds a day, or even 40 rounds a day. You might prefer studying the shastra, or you might prefer singing songs about Krishna, having bhajans. And that's a good thing. We're all individuals, and we have an individual way that we're accessing Krishna consciousness. But then again, we think, why did Prabhupada make us make this path? There must be something special about japa for everybody. It must be something that's really special and really key for everyone. And to ask ourselves, what is that special? And how can I find it? And how can I access it? But if you love Krishna's pastimes, then the Prabhupada said, meditate on Krishna's pastimes while you're chanting. And you can take it time. And Prabhupada said, if you do that, then you become a walking holy place. It's an opportunity to have what you're reading in the books fill you. You can see it like that. I hope that is helpful. Or maybe for some others of you who are in similar situations. Yes?
Mataji, in the 16 rounds, you do it continuously or you spread it out in your
day? It doesn't matter. Prabhupada told Yamuna one time to chant all of her 16 rounds at one time. But Prabhupada also told his servant Shruti Kirti, he said, when I was a householder, I would chant 4, 4, 4, 4. So I would chant 4 before breakfast, 4 before lunch, 4 before dinner, 4 before bed. He said, if you will not eat without your 4 rounds, you will chant your 4 rounds.
So
that is up to you and your life and your reality.
But is there anything like before eating food, suppose if you want to chat, is there any ritual you want, like wash or anything you do before?
Not necessary. Prabhupada said you can chant in the train. Prabhupada was very happy. Jayananda was driving a taxi and chanting. Prabhupada was very happy. Oh, you are chanting while you're driving your taxi. Prabhupada would say, what is the loss? If you are already on the train, you're already on the bus, why can't you be chanting when you're walking? I mean, we have many of our acharyas who would have a special chanting room that was even sometimes underground. And Bhaktivinoda talked about like covering your eyes and ears. And so some people may find that helpful. But you can also chant. Prabhupada would take a walk in a park, a walk by the beach and chant. I would tend to be careful when devotees say, you have to do this or that, because it may be what is helpful for them. So somebody may have found, oh, if I chant all my 16 rounds at one time, that's very helpful for me. Oh, so everybody has to do this. But that may not, it may not even be practical in your life. And even if it is better for you, if it's not practical, there's an expression, do not let the great become the enemy of the good. You're trying to do something up here, and so you do nothing. Better to do what you can do.
Yeah.
And be satisfied with what you can do. You know? If you only have 10 minutes a day to spend quality time with your child, you can't say, well, this book I read about being a parent, it says I have to spend 2 hours. I don't have 2 hours, so I will spend nothing. You know, if you cannot make a 15-course meal, can you make a good 2-course meal? Can you make a good 1-course meal? I have made good 1-prep meals. Yes? Isn't it? Yes.
Slow. Some devotees.
That doesn't matter.
Some devotees chant, you know, very slowly, slowly, like every mantra, very slowly, they chant.
Well, one problem if you're going to go very, 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 very slowly is then it will take you 5 hours to chant 16 rounds, and so you may not do it at all. Mm-hmm. So if you're going, Hare Krishna, it will take you the whole day to chant 16 rounds. And then you may just say, this is not practical. Actually, Ayendra said when he first started chanting, he thought like that. Because he was thinking, just like when people chant Om, and they will chant, Om. So he thought chanting Hare Krishna would be like that. Hare Krishna. He said he couldn't understand how could the devotees chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. But you don't want to chant so fast that you Prabhupada wasn't concerned chanting slow or fast. Prabhupada also, interestingly enough, said you could also chant silently. Some places, Prabhupada will say that you must chant loudly enough to hear yourself, but other times Prabhupada would also say you could chant silently. There's a purport where Prabhupada said you have to be moving your lips and tongue, but you could also chant silently. And people would ask Prabhupada, said, doesn't matter, as long as you are hearing the mantra. So again, I find that these kind of things, an individual will find that they're... You know, they say that if a hawk finds a mouse under a particular bush, that the hawk will keep coming back to that same bush for many days. How much Krishna reciprocates with us when we chant is not just my technique. It is also Krishna. So it may be one day, when I chanted all my 16 rounds at one time without moving, I got this amazing reciprocation from Krishna. So I think, oh, it was the sitting without moving for 16 rounds. This problem happened with Narada Muni. Narada Muni was meditating, and the Lord came. And he thought, oh, I know how to make the Lord come. I just meditate like that. And he tried again, it didn't work. So it's not a mechanical process. It's not that I'm obliging Krishna to manifest in his name by using a particular technique. And in one sense, it is disrespectful. One thing to keep in mind is that if we have a material body and we are in this world, then probably we are an offender. Probably. Unless we've come here as a nityasiddha with some mission to preach. But probably we are an offender. It's like if you are in the prison and you are wearing a prison uniform, you are probably a criminal. Probably. So, we know when somebody offends us, yes? In our life, somebody has offended us, somebody has insulted us, somebody has cheated us. At least one person has done this for everybody. Someone has insulted you or offended you or cheated you, yes?
Yes.
So, who gets to decide when and how to restore the relationship? The offender or the offended? The offended, yes? And we have cheated Krishna. We have been trying to have a relationship with Maya. If some man is having some affair with some other women, and then he comes to his wife and says, I'm very sorry, now I'm coming back. That is exactly our situation. We have been carrying on some affair with so many parts of Maya, and then we are coming back. Now I want to come back. So if the man goes to his wife and says, here's a diamond bracelet, here's 12 roses, now you have to take me back. We cannot do like that with her. We cannot say, I'm sitting here, I'm chanting 16 rounds, I'm offering my food, I'm offering my incense, and now I'm giving you money even. Now you have to appear. It doesn't work like that. We're offenders. So, my personal belief is that what happens with many devotees, they've had some amazing experiences in japa under certain conditions. And so they're thinking, if I repeat those conditions, I will get the same experience. And then they tell everybody, you should follow those conditions. Mahaprabhu says there's not a hard, fat, and fast rule for chanting. It's not like that. It's about a personal relationship between us and the person. And yes, you might find that you are going to tend to have a closer relationship with Krishna if you sit in a certain way, or you go to a certain room, or you have a certain time. But it's not a mechanical thing, and it's not something that necessarily other people are going to be able to repeat those mechanics and have that experience. I mean, we see this even with a marriage relationship. Just because something makes your marriage very happy doesn't mean it will make everybody else's marriage very happy. You know, Bill Gates and his wife, they wash the dishes together every night, which is interesting because he can certainly afford a servant to wash his dishes, or a dishwasher to wash his dishes. Thinking, why is Bill Gates' wife washing the dishes every night? If I had a gazillion billion dollars, I wouldn't wash the dishes. But, you know, that's what they're doing. And they say, this has been a very good thing in our relationship that we are washing the dishes together. But that doesn't mean everybody. You cannot say, if you want a good marriage, wash the dishes at night with your spouse. You know? You could say, spend some time doing something together. That you could say. But just say that. Maybe you hate washing the dishes. And then maybe you're like, maybe it's going to make you hate your spouse that you have to wash the dishes with him. Does that make some sense?
Yes.
If you want to be a good parent, you have to take your child to soccer games. But maybe your child doesn't like soccer. Maybe your child likes chess. Maybe your child likes martial arts. Maybe your child likes robotics. You know, maybe they don't like soccer. Maybe if you take your child to soccer, they will be angry with you. But, you know, why am I parenting in soccer? I don't like soccer. Just be a little careful when something, you know, works for somebody else. Or even it has worked for you on Monday, and you think it's going to be a formula. These are very nice questions. We'll take one more, and that will be it for me. Anybody else have a question? So tonight we're going to do, what's it called, a magic box? Tonight we're going to do a magic box. So that is, you can write a question about anything about Krishna consciousness. I can't promise you I can answer anything about Krishna consciousness. But write a question, anything about Krishna consciousness, and it will be anonymous. And I don't know any of your handwriting, so I will not know. And we're going to put it in a box, and then we'll take them out of the box and see what we can answer. So you can think about if you have some question about something.
I'm
asking
everyone
one quick question. For tonight.
Actually, one
second. Actually, I want to tell about that book. Post?
Yes, okay. Thank you very much.
Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Actually, thanks to Saravana Mataji. Whenever any senior devotee comes, she'll call, because many of them, they don't go to other places. Like when sometimes we are in the thing, we don't feel that we are thirsty, but we are thirsty. So she is bringing water, well, to us. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to well, she is arranging well to come to us. So you should take this opportunity. Any doubt you have, Mataji, as you see, she